I invite you to pray with me. Our gracious God, our world sometimes leaves us spinning around, knocked by blow after blow, but we turn to you to be our safe place, our rock, a present help. And so, Lord, we turn to your word. Speak to us. Touch our hearts. Open our ears. Make us hungry for your wisdom and your truth. Lord, bless your people today. Amen. Today's scripture reading is from Psalm 46. Our God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease at the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Well, they say that hindsight is 20/20. And I think they got a point. Looking back sometimes, personally, I can't believe all of the choices that I made. A lot of things might have seemed like a good idea at the time, but were not. Often we make choices that we don't think through, but do have long-term consequences. Other times, the things that we ought to deeply cherish had seemed so ordinary at the time that they passed almost without notice. I think of some of the times I spent with my father. He'd go out to the playground with me and throw some baseball so I could practice my batting. At the time, it just seemed like the thing we did. But that was an important time and an amazing gift that my father had given. 25 years ago, I had more debt than I wanted to have. Why? Because it wasn't because I ran out and spent all that money on one big thing. But I charged a little thing here, a little thing there, a little something else, each of which it seemed like I could not live without. However, in hindsight, as I looked back and I looked at the credit card bill and said, I should never have gotten to where I am, I realized that a lot of those little things weren't all that important. There's a saying that no one on their deathbed wishes that they spent more time at the office. So whether it's speeding on Lockwood Boulevard, and the speed trap that it is, spending money, sacrificing family for work. The problem isn't that we're not aware of the consequences, it's just that we don't take those consequences seriously. Unfortunately, it's not until we often look back that we realize either what we missed or what we pursued. God, however, invites and calls and equips his people, us, to live within a very real present, but also with a foresight of what is yet to come. To live knowing that the Lord is with us and is our refuge and our strength. To live in a present where we know and love one another, where we serve Jesus Christ, where we reach out in his name. There's an old saying that sometimes Christians can be so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly good. Maybe you've been there, or maybe you've seen that. But it isn't that God calls us to live in a never-never land or a heaven that's yet to be, but to live an eternal kind of life even now, as well as once after we take our final breath. On Monday evening, we had a memorial service for a former member of our congregation, Patrick Wunder, who had returned to this church. That evening, I became convinced that many of the things I shared at that service are something that I was to share with you this morning. And one of the interesting things is that I guess it's kind of a shame that at a memorial service, after a person is gone, you learn kind of interesting things about them. And one of the ones says that Brenda, his ex-wife, and remains an amazing friend of his, first met when they were hired on the very first day at a Wendy's. As they became used to the weird uniforms and all that, they quickly became friends. And they joked, hey, if we ever get married, we ought to have a daughter. We ought to name her Wendy. So they'd be Wendy Wonder. And Wendy, or also known as Jessica, is very glad that her parents had enough foresight not to follow through on that joke and to name her Wendy Wonder. Also heard of some interesting challenges of their wedding day. They were married at the courthouse. And as they're going to the courtroom and they're walking up, there's a dead mouse right there by the seats. And as they get up and as they're before the judge during the service, Patrick bobbles the ring. And it bounces and it rolls and it clicks and claps and ends up right underneath the judge's feet. That's a problem for, you know, weddings that you might imagine. But life is full of problems, difficulties, challenges, and much worse. Dead mice and slippery rings turned out to be some of the very least of Patrick's problems. Now, all of us have much to learn from people that are in the midst of the very storms of life. We can learn because their presence provides us a foresight that we might be missing. Because of the presence that they are living in the midst gives to us a new lens with which we can see our present and our life from a totally different perspective. It's easy to say, Hakuna Matata, if you're a Disney fan, or chill out, take it easy, or it's all good when things seem to be going the way we want. But the real challenge is that life isn't always that way. I don't know anyone who doesn't like the 23rd Psalm, but it does point out that there will be dark valleys, that there is a shadow of death, that there are enemies, as well as green pastures and still waters. Cemeteries remind us that we don't get the last word. People let us down. People sometimes work against us. And all of us have faced times when even our very, very best isn't enough. And as we are in the midst of this time, people tell us. Or when we're next to someone else who is going through a difficult time, we sometimes tell people some trite things that sound good. And people have told us, such as, God won't give you more than you can handle. Or it's all part of God's plan. Well, truth be told, and I'm going to tell you the truth right now, you will face more than you can handle. You may be facing more than you can handle right now. And you've probably faced it previously in your life. The problem is, with these empty sayings, is they get it wrong from the very beginning. God did not design us to face and to withstand every challenge by ourselves. First, God's bigger than your problems. And secondly, God calls and creates a people, the body of Christ, the church, that is called and equipped to be there for us, each other, that when we are in the midst of a storm, we're not alone. That there's someone else that's there. There are people who can help us carry part of the burden. There are people who can help us and remind us that we're not alone. There are people that can be praying for us and reminding us that even there, God is with us. One of the amazing things that is still true is that God does perform miracles. God continues to perform healings that boggle the doctor's minds. Sometimes God heals that body. Sometimes God heals that sickness. But also, many times, God's greatest miracle is that He transforms us rather than the situation that we are in. Because we do live in a world that is broken due to the causes and effects of sin. We suffer the consequences of our own sins. We also suffer the consequences of what other people have done and their bad choices. The person who drinks too much and gets in an accident. We also face the consequences of sickness and death that remind us of the consequences of sin. You know, each time I spoke with Patrick, in the couple months that we had with him before he passed, I grew more and more impressed with the spiritual and personal growth that had taken place in him in the midst of difficulties I would not wish upon my worst enemy. It wasn't always true about Patrick. But between the time I had last spoken with him in the years intervening and the time when he surprised me in worship, God has done an amazing thing in his life, in things that would devastate most of us. And I think would probably rattle my world. Patrick weathered and even prospered. And he would tell you that himself. And that while his vision was almost gone, he was investing himself with hope and even joy in courses for learning how to navigate and live in life while he was blind. On Easter, the last full day of his life with us, he texted to so many people, "Jesus is risen. Praise the Lord." Patrick discovered a peace in the midst of an amazing storm, losing his health, nearly dying, and just as one thing started to regain health, losing his vision. You know, one day I was at lunch with Pat, and we're talking, and what he's talking about was reminding me of something that my grandfather had impressed upon me. And it was one of the very last times that I was with my grandfather, and he was suffering the effects of old age as well as Parkinson's disease. And with a clarity that I hadn't seen in him for a long time, with an intensity and strength that I thought was long gone, he took my hands, pulled me even closer, and there we are. And the power in his eyes as he looks into my soul and says, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God." He kept looking right into me. "Be still and know that I am God." And Patrick said, "That's what I'm learning how to do." As Patrick grew to be still and to know that the Lord is God, he saw himself, the world around him, and his circumstances through a very different light, and certainly different than he had ever seen his circumstances before. It wasn't that his circumstances got better. They were getting worse. But in the midst of it, Patrick was clear to say that he was experiencing greater fulfillment and joy in his life then than he had ever at any other point in his life. He had lost whatever wealth he had. He had lost his health. He had lost his wife. He had lost his home. He had lost his job. He had lost almost every possession he had. And yet, he discovered that he had more than he had ever had before in the things that really mattered. And that was a real gift to hear that and see that, because it continues to challenge me. It continues to invite me to to look at my life, my circumstances, from a God perspective rather than my own, from the perspective of eternity rather than my own urgency, from a perspective of how God can use me rather than what I want. Patrick clearly told those who had an opportunity to speak with him that despite all his difficulties, he had found a greater joy than he had never known before. His circumstances were not transformed into what he wanted, who he would have wanted, but in the midst of his present, just by the gift of a different perspective, that the Lord God was his refuge and his strength, that his Lord God was a very present help in the midst of his troubles, that he could be still and to know that the Lord is God. Everything was revealed in a whole new light. You know, often if we want to have a better perspective, I remember someone once told me, make the really big decisions in a cemetery. Now you can visit them and that's really powerful. But if you're making big decisions in your life, think from the bigger perspective, not the narrow and not the urgent. Approaching death is a powerful perspective. And it is a gift to spend time with people as they are in their last months, weeks, and days. Because they give us the gift of a perspective and a vision of what really is important and what is lasting and what is valuable and what is not. Looked a couple of you in the eyes who have, during this service, who have been there and who are there right now. You know what I mean. John's wife, Judy, has just recently decided to go under hospice care rather than continuing to undergo regular medical care and another round of chemo. You need to talk with Judy. And God willing, she'll talk with us next week in the service. But if that doesn't work, she'll call in. And we'll have a chance to hear what she has to say from her perspective about what's important in life. You won't talk with her very long before you hear something about her faith and the power of Scripture in her life. Many of you know Andrew Vaca, who has spoken here and who works with the Lyft Disability Network. He was born with spinal bifida, mostly uses a wheelchair, can somehow get around, sometimes with braces on his legs. Has always been on the outside of so many things. And yet, he has stood here, looked you in the eye, and said, it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing how God has been able to use it to touch the lives and the faith of other people. My Aunt Pat isn't expected to live more than a week or two more. But she and her husband speak about how God has been faithful to them, the peace he has given them, and the very present help he is in this time of trouble. How do we let so many little things in life become so big when so many people that experience such big things in life can see that so many of these things really are little? The person who sang that, who wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul, that we just sang, knew difficulties in life and yet was able to say, it is well with my soul. He had lost a son to scarlet fever. The Chicago fire devastated his business. He starts to get a little bit of a rebound and then an economic downturn takes him back down. He's near a breakdown and he's going to go visit in Europe for a little while to try to regain some health. Some business issues causes him to have to delay his wife and children, wife and four daughters, go ahead of him on an ocean liner that is struck by another ship and sinks. His four daughters are killed in the sinking. As Horatio Spafford is yet on a different ocean liner heading to be with his wife. As he is passing over the vicinity in the ocean where the ship sunk and his daughters died, he feels compelled to write this song that while sea billows roar, while the storm is raging, it is well with my soul. If people in the midst of these great storms can know and experience God as a refuge and strength, may we who don't feel like we're in such a great storm experience that as well. You know, Patrick discovered that in the last couple months of his life. That in the very midst of his troubles, including a literal blindness, he saw what had always been, but he never knew. He saw what was always there for him in God and in his faith, but he never experienced because he never put his faith in it. for his faith in God fully and completely. He expressed it this way. Patrick said, "I had to lose my sight so that I could see." And he found that God was our refuge and strength, the very present help in times of trouble. He had learned to be still and to know that the Lord is God. This is a different perspective on life. It's what we can see most clearly in Jesus, who laid down his life as a ransom for many. It's what the Apostle Paul points to in Philippians. Let your mind, let your attitude be like that of Christ Jesus, who didn't consider equality with God as something to be exploited, but what? He emptied himself, became a servant, being born in human likeness, became obedient even to death on the cross. And it was through that he was raised to power and glory. It's what Jesus calls us and invites us to do in the Great Commission in the part of teaching them to obey all that Jesus commanded. As we be still and know that the Lord is God, let us also remember that we are not. We are not God. And that's a good thing, because I need in my life more than I could ever muster up myself. Let us join with Jesus as Jesus prayed in the garden. God, not my will, but your will be done. And I know in the times when I have been in the toughest situations of my life, that God has been a refuge and a strength. That as soon as I stopped struggling and flailing around, I felt that solid rock. That even though the mountains will shake, that the seas will roar, that its waters roar and foam, and the mountains tumble in tumult, while our world breaks down and sweat threatens to sweep us away, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen.